Ustedes son los más.
We shall overcome. Yes, we can.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Today's Tech Bites, another change at Twitter. Elon Musk is eliminating the platform's Trust and Safety Council. The advisory group was formed to address content that includes hate speech, child exploitation, and suicide. Musk said the council was not the best structure for external insight.
All right. Obviously, you've been hearing about Elon Musk. Hey, Chip Franklin here with you. What the Franklin? And the thing about this story that people have to understand, and you're going to, because if you watch Fox, if you listen to Fox, they're going to talk about, they're going to talk about the Twitter files, right? This whole thing about, watch. These are just some of the Twitter alerts you can find.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. We begin with an unexpected Fox News alert. Just moments ago, Barry Weiss of Substack began posting part two of the Twitter files. Now,
all right, this is a Fox News alert breaking tonight. We are learning more and more about Twitter's efforts to blacklist conservatives.
Breaking news, and we'll be at it. I am Laura Ingraham. This is Ingraham Angle from Washington Tonight. The Twitter Files, part two.
All right, nowhere in there do you hear anything about real proof of censorship. And when we talk about censorship, let's talk about what Twitter was doing going back to 2019, all through the 2020 election. They were taking lies off the internet, not just lies about the big lie, and in maybe even in some ways lies about Trump's claims to victory. Okay, I mean, that's some of that was just hyperbole, right? But then when you start to break it down in the events that led to January 6th, and of course, before that, the lies all about Fauci, about COVID, about masks. I mean, just one last thing before we get to our guests here. And this is Charlie Kirk and Tucker Carlson talking about this, what happened with Twitter when they were actually trying to remove disinformation, not misinformation, disinformation, information that was purposely put out there in order to lie, to obfuscate, to whatever you want to call it, to change the narrative.
People, and I don't think we'll ever be able to measure the impact of what Twitter did to our voices online in the calendar year of 2020, the lives that were lost, the kids that really had speech impediments and delays and school closures, and of course, the outcome of the 2020 election, all came from a censorship regime from Twitter.
That's totally right.
What the fuck is he talking about? Anyway, so much of that doesn't make sense. Joining us right now is a reporter for Capitol Hill Reporter and also for Occupy Democrats, and that would be Tara Dublin. She has a story. And also joining us in this is White House correspondent Brian Karam, who has to deal with all this stuff every day.
Hey, Brian.
Hi, Tara. Hi,
it's
Chip.
It's so good to see you both.
Such handsome people so early in the morning. So let's talk about this right away. So Tara has been suspended from Twitter for comments that she made about Marjorie Taylor Greene, basically taking Greene's comments and turning them back on her. No disinformation. No, it's just opinion, you know, and it's many of us are, quote unquote, opinion journalists. And there's a difference between, I know Brian's eyebrows go up. But tell us a little bit what happened to you and where it stands right now, Tara.
I'm in Twitmo for a week, which is why I wore the stripes. Yeah, I just wanted to look like the prisoner that I am.
They won't find me.
Oh, look at you.
Jesus, he wears that to bed. Mrs. Karam tells me stories all the time.
This will become a completely different story now. Wow.
Are you going over? Go ahead, Tara. I'm sorry.
Did you borrow that from Madison Cawthorn, Brian?
You're going to get me kicked off
so,
now.
So Sunday, right before I did like this all day meditation thing on Sunday. So I wasn't on Twitter most of the day on Sunday, but right before I did that, I responded to a tweet of Marjorie's. There are no swears in the tweet. I did call her a Nazi and a skank, but I did just mirror her own language back to her because we had just heard the story about her going to the Nazi prom in New York on Friday and standing on stage and talking about dildos and butt plugs. I don't know why she's doing that unless she went shopping and couldn't find what she was looking for and was frustrated. I don't know. But like
well, everybody's got to have a hobby.
I mean, you know, she's got a lot of Nazi boyfriends on her list. You know, she's got an extensive list of Nazi boyfriends to shop for this season. And so, I mean, I don't know what Alex Stein's favorite color of butt plug is, but I'm sure Marjorie does.
Well, let me ask you a question. So if Musk did eliminate the Twitter police, who grabbed you then? How did you get picked?
I honestly don't know because, again, I was offline most of the day. I'm assuming one of two things happened either. And again, all I did was mirror her own language. I said she was, you know, moaning about something. And I said, well, why don't you just go buy some more butt plugs for your Nazi boyfriends? Yeah. And again, her own language. And so with no swears, no threats. Either I got mass reported or Marjorie picked up the phone and called Elon herself. Yeah. And she knows who I am. I mean, she blocked me on her personal account before it got suspended. And then she had to unblock me like she did with Midas Touch. And then she got her personal account reinstated. I've called her office. I've tried to get a legitimate interview with her. She won't respond to me directly. She'll sic her comms director on my editors if she doesn't like what I write about her. But she will not directly address me because she's afraid of me because I speak the truth. That's okay. All I do. And all she doesn't like that.
Let's just
so now
jump
I'm suspended
in here, Brian,
for the week.
Okay, Brian, there's no First Amendment issue here at all. This is a private company. And, you know, again, even though I have some tape of Ro Khanna, the congressman from the Bay Area, talking about how it's the new public square and they shouldn't censor. It's not really censorship. I mean, what's happening right now with Tara is it sucks because she needs it for her job. But it's also, you know, they have that right, you know, but what I think we all want to see and understand is some sort of consistency. I mean, Elon Musk is anything but consistent.
Well, he's consistently inconsistent and ignorant of his own arrogance and arrogant of his own ignorance. And I could go on. But the problem you face is that, look, it's hypocritical to say that you're here for free speech, but you block the speech that you don't want to hear. Right. So that's the hypocrisy at work that you have to deal with. And unfortunately, in the public square, that's perfectly legitimate. You can do that. Whether it's a viable option for a business is another thing entirely. As a baker found out in Kentucky when she tried to ban wouldn't sell to gay people. It kind of comes back to bite you in the ass. And that's what Elon's only got so many coins to play in this. And then after that, it's going to be, you know, Katie barred the door. A lot of people have fled, you know, Twitter because of Elon's takeover. And I'm not one of the ones that's going to do it. I'll be there to the bitter end. You know, no matter what he does, because I do believe there should be, you know, I don't care if you hate me and I don't care what you say about me. You just have to give me the ability to say what I think as well. And if that's the case, then I'm fine. But in Tara's case, that's not what happened. So the hypocrisy involved in it is well, specious at best.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is for me.
There's an odd combination here of the First Amendment, the possibility of you know, again, slander, and because we can also write a libel, I guess, like however it all plays out. And, you know, the question of not whether or not a public figure can be parodied, it's different, obviously. We can say things about Marjorie Taylor Greene because she's chosen to, unless the Supreme Court, who's going to hear a case on this coming up in this year about parody and satire. You know, I think what Musk did, and by removing Tara and others that have strong opinions, based on many times what that person has said, and sometimes parroting what they said, this is the real problem I think Musk faces going forward. Is exactly, you know, let's just pretend he's a normal person for a second. What is this platform going to be? You know, I mean, in the long run. I mean, you need it for your job because you know, you do these stories and you post them and then, you know, you want to get this information out. Both of you do.
I don't think it's right for anybody to fuck with anyone else's livelihood just because they can. And The fact, like, they put, like, that user who put the video, the first person who put the video of him getting booed on stage,
Chappelle,
he immediately suspended that account. And it's like, I don't care how thin your skin is.
I didn't know that. Wait, so he suspended the account of somebody that posted the video of him getting
booed?
The
first person who did it, and then other people copied the video and were posting. And now so many people have posted. What's he going to do? Delete everybody? Like, he doesn't like
it. Was just a regular.
I take my ball and go home.
I don't wear. I mean, here's the thing, and it's just, it's like you said, I don't care if you don't like me. I don't care if you don't like the truth. And I don't understand why people are so afraid of the truth. Like, the truth matters so much, no matter how ugly it is. And I would rather hear the ugliest truth about anything than the most beautiful lie, because eventually your truth comes out. And then people are like, why didn't you just say so? And they twist themselves into pretzels to avoid the truth. And the truth is, Marjorie Taylor Greene stood on a stage the other night and said, if Steve Bannon and I were in charge of January 6th with weapons, we would have won. She's got a tweet on Twitter right now calling the president of the United States a piece of shit. She's allowed to do that, but I can't call her a Nazi cunt rag, which is spelled Q-U-N-T-R-A-G. So that's not technically a swear. But when, and here's the other thing, Q-U-N-T trends almost every day now. That's my word. I would love Urban Dictionary to recognize, make it a real thing, annotate it. If Q-U-N-T can trend every single day, why can't my tweet with Q-U-N-T remain? So it's somebody whined to Elon because the little girl on Twitter with the big mouth hurt her snowflake fifis. And that's not even the worst thing I've ever said to Marjorie. Not even close. So
she usually runs away from me. I don't get a chance. I've been in the Capitol before, and she's literally run away from me. Her,
because she's a coward.
Holly pulling their Chariots of Fire impersonation as they run away from any conflict they don't want to take on.
Okay. All bullies are cowards at heart.
Let me mention this, that Brian has a bestseller out right now called Free the Press, and it's doing well. With fourth printing now, my friend?
Yep.
Nice. Must be nice.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
But at the heart of all this, okay, is, again, you know, on our side, we have to be extremely careful because we've set the bar. And I say our side, those that oppose the big lie, the COVID lies. You know, one of the things that, I have a lot of this, disinformation and these videos here, but I want to talk to you guys right now. The idea that this came from a Chinese lab that they use, they're trying to attack Fauci with. I just want to say this, and I'll give $100,000 to anybody who can produce iota any evidence at all that it came from a Chinese lab. We don't know, and it's possible, but there is absolutely no evidence. Most real virologists and epidemiologists say that the pattern, the way it emerged, it acted like many other viruses, and it continues to do so. But that said, you know, you can't come out and say that Fauci. I mean, you can. I mean, you can call Fauci a liar. I mean, that's your opinion. But when you have a whole network that does it, and actually three networks that are actually coming out and making these lies up and then putting them on Twitter. I think that's when you, as a responsibility for a content platform, to look at this. You're not going to get it all, but the most popular tweets that are actually pushing lies about the virus, about masks, especially when you had, I think Ingram does it.
Since Angle was pretty much the first national platform to slam the lockdowns, I suspect my own name will pop up on some suppression list eventually.
It's because you're a freaking idiot. That's why. Well, you know, when you talk about the lockdowns saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Had they been done correctly early on, who knows how many of the million people would still be alive today.
Chip, if I may, in response to that and to what Tara said earlier, look, I don't know how to say this other than, and I'm not trying to insult anyone, I'm not here to tell you what the truth is, right? If you want truth, to me, that's two doors, as Indiana Jones said, that's two doors down in philosophy. I'm here for the facts. and the facts are that I'm sorry, Marjorie Taylor Greene said what she said, those are facts. And the virus, the facts are and I've been in all those briefings with Fauci. He is grilled, he has asked questions, he's supplied evidence. He has supplied on more than one occasion booked reams of evidence for us to look at as we decide what the facts are, right? So he speaks to facts. Those people that are saying it was started somewhere in a lab. Where are the facts to back that up? There are none. I've looked. Supply the facts. I'm not married to the idea that, you know, it was accidental. Those are just what the facts say. So I follow the facts. I feel a little bit like Columbo. Excuse me, ma'am. You know, I just got one more question for you. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's just follow the facts. Well, people like Charlie Kirk and all those people, they go.
He's a kid. He's a kid that's been given hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah. That's the problem with talk radio right now is it's
problem with journalism right now.
I know, but I mean, what people view as journalism, they view Hannity and Carlson and Ingram as journalists when in fact they're so far from it. There you go, Hollywood. So I guess the question here is that, you know, moving forward with Twitter and recognizing that, you know, the First Amendment does not apply here. Okay. But there is some responsibility. There are possible civil issues, right? If you attack people who are not public figures and you defame them. Yeah. I mean, but other than that, you know, when you look at the people that are being taken down today, it's not like the people that were taken down before Musk. And I have to articulate that when you come out and there's a video that we'll get to in a little bit, Marjorie Taylor Greene at the Young Republicans thing saying that we would have come if the Republicans had done this, we'd have come armed. And this is the and then, of course, Trump's comments about if he gets indicted and how there's going to be serious implications. This is a responsibility that social media has when they see people not violating the law specifically. I mean, I still don't think that Trump actually violated the law on January the 6th inciting that. I mean, you have to have a clear call to action. It was close, and you could probably take him to court on it. You could probably indict him, but would you get a conviction that he actually said, let's go up there and take over the Capitol? Those are the words. And you know this, Brian, better than most people. Michael Cohen has said it many times. He talks like a mobster. He goes, hey, you know the things that got to be done. They got to be done. He doesn't come out and say, do this thing.
And do what they did with the mobsters, use the RICO Act. But I think Donald Trump has other problems, not January, you know, January 6th aside. He has far easier ways to be indicted and probably will. And I was standing there when it was Rudy Giuliani and Eric Trump, I believe it was Eric, one of those interchangeable twin idiots of his, who said, you know, trial by combat. That was Giuliani. So he urged him, and there is no doubt that as I walked with those people up there to the Capitol, that they thought that they were doing what the president wanted them to do.
But, you know, those are metaphors, Brian, and you know.
Nothing metaphorical about saying trial by combat.
Sure, there is. I mean, come on. I mean, you and I both know that in a courtroom that, you know, a good defense attorney can take those apart and they can, you know, many times people have said those things.
Are you surmising that Rudy Giuliani is the good defense attorney? Cause
no,
I see there's a fallacy in your logic right there, pal.
I still laugh at the Four Seasons thing when they get at the lawn place anyway, but I guess, when I look at all this and I'm trying to look forward here and I'm trying to understand, you know, what's going to happen to Twitter. What'd you say?
I think it's still up in the air what happens to Twitter.
Well, I think the longer Musk stays there, the greater chance that Twitter will fall apart. I think that another form will come forward, a popular form. Somebody will put a lot of money into it. Maybe a Soros kind of thing. But I think that right now, Twitter, I mean, I enjoy it. I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I don't enjoy it necessarily, but I do go there and I do get information from some really smart people. Some people I agree with, some people I don't. Jamie Metzl, the guy, that journalist who believes that it came from a Chinese lab. I enjoy arguing with him, you know, and there are scientists. I mean, I got into a fight with a guy at the park who's, you know, kept telling me that Fauci lied. And he goes, I'm a physician. And I go, yeah, well, so is Mengele. Right. I mean, I kind of jump in the shark there, but
that's a good line.
But I guess, you know, I mean, what happened to Tara? I mean, I don't know what you did because to get, you know, the finger pointed at you so hard. I mean, I know that. I go after a lot of these people, you know, Green especially, and others, you know, Cawthorn sent me a mean a DM once, you know, and others. So, yeah, I kept it. It wasn't. I should probably show it to you. He said, you can go. He said, you can go to hell, buddy. That was his. Ooh. Yeah, I know. I mean, so you're supposed to be suspended for 6 days. Is that the deal?
I have, I think, I have like 4.5 days left. And I did appeal and I deleted the offensive tweet. And I let them know that I do need Twitter for my jobs, 2 jobs. And that, I mean, it is a violation of my free speech, because he's out there saying, I'm a free speech champion and blah, 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 blah. But then he takes down anything he doesn't like because he's a snowflake. And so, you know, you cannot decide what is free speech and what is not. There are clear guidelines to what hate speech is, to speech that it, you know, encourages people to act violently.
Let me ask you that question. What is hate speech?
Hate speech is saying, go fucking kill this person. Go fucking annihilate this person. Let's go to their house.
That's a crime.
No, that's a crime. That's inciting violence. Hate speech is not protected.
Brian, what is like
that? Hate speech is protected. You cannot specifically incite someone to go kill someone else.
I would never do that.
I mean, if you ever saw the Blues Brothers, you know, I hate Illinois Nazis. They won their court case. Well, that happened where I lived in Kentucky. The KKK won their ability to march, and they got a permit and to foment and speak hatred. They can say, I hate the Jews, I hate the Catholics, I hate black people. They can say that. That's hate speech. What they can't say is, I hate a black person, kill this specific black person. That's right. Where hate speech crosses over and becomes an incitement to violence. Just as you cannot run into a theater and yell fire when there is no fire. Those are certain protections in the First Amendment and certain limitations in the First Amendment. But hate speech definitely is protected by the First Amendment.
Has the Supreme Court ever weighed in on hate speech, Brian?
Yeah, that's the Supreme Court is the one that allowed hate speech, and so is the Sixth and the Fifth and the Third Circuit have all weighed in on the ability of hate speech. You have the idea behind the First Amendment is, I disagree with what you say, but will defend to death your right to say it. And the government cannot interfere. So in other words, they couldn't interfere to keep the Nazis or the KKK from getting a permit to march. Yeah. Now, they could put cops there. And if they cross the line, arrest them for crossing the line from hate speech into incitement to riot or violence or whatever, and, you know, whatever other statute they violated. But the specific idea of speaking something contrary to what you and I hold dear is something that is protected supposedly by the First Amendment.
In my tweet is protected.
Yes, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't say go beat the hell out of Marjorie Taylor Greene.
But I would never.
But again, it's not a First Amendment issue because the government wasn't involved. It violates the spirit of free speech, but it doesn't violate the actual law.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The idea.
His actions didn't violate. I'm not talking about yours. His actions didn't violate the First Amendment, but they did violate the spirit of free speech, which is, I disagree with what you say, but defend to death your right to say it. You didn't violate the law, and nor did you violate the spirit of free speech.
No, I did not.
His actions that did.
And for the record, Twitter had every right in the world to take you down, right?
Yeah, it's a privately owned company.
But if you're going to go out there and say, as the new owner of Twitter, this is free speech for everybody, except the free speech I don't like. That's not free speech. That is not following what you said you were going to do. But does anybody really believe that Elon Musk has any good intentions? Of course not. He didn't buy Twitter with good intentions. If he had good intentions, he could have made his own app for all the SpaceX fanboys to follow him to. He could have bought Parler, Gab, Truth Social for $1.25.
Hold on, he went for
Twitter on purpose.
See if you agree with what Rokana says here.
Last night, former New York Times columnist Barry Weiss releasing the second installment of the Twitter files. It includes images of what appears to be an internal Twitter system that marked certain accounts as being blacklisted in certain ways. For example, one was marked as a, quote, trends blacklist, another as a, quote, search blacklist. I want to bring in California Congressman who found himself at the center of the Twitter files saga just a week ago. Representative Ro Khanna joins us this morning. Congressman, it's nice to see you, sir. You did get a nice little cameo in this Twitter files saga. and raising the issue, really, I think the only person, at least that we saw in Congress, especially on the Democratic side, suggesting that those Hunter Biden files, or at least the article, should not be blacklisted. What have you made of what you've now seen from inside this reporting?
Well, Andrew, I believe that Twitter is the modern public square. And it's one thing to say they shouldn't have released sensational pictures about Hunter Biden, which I agree with. But to censor the New York Post, to prevent sharing of articles, that's just wrong. And I stand by what I wrote. And I hope that they will not do that in the future. Even though they are not obligated to live up to the First Amendment, they shouldn't be censoring journalists or things that they disagree with.
So I'm not sure I agree with what the congressman said. By the way, I think Brian had to take off.
Yeah, he has to go watch the president sign the Important Respect for Marriage Act.
Yeah, actually, we're going to get to that in just a few minutes, too. Cool. This is, again, Tara Dublin. She is, you can find her at Tara Dublin on Twitter.
Tara Dublin rocks.
What's that?
My handle is at Tara Dublin rocks.
At Tara Dublin. If you just put your name in there, they'll find you, right?
Yes, they will.
And obviously what happened to you affects your livelihood. But, you know, I had somebody in here says, I really agree with you, but the language.
But the language. Ooh, so what? That language is protected.
No, I can totally say
what
totally
I can say what I want the way I want, as long as I'm not inciting riot or violence or all of those things. And in that particular tweet, there are no swear words, not real ones. I didn't even use the F word, which is allowed. I can say fuck as many times as I want. So I'm a Jersey girl. I've got a temper. I'm reactive. And I'm going to say fuck you if I think that you deserve to be told to fuck off.
Do your employers back you on this? Does the Capitol Reporter and Occupy Democrats, are they behind you with this?
So why, there's a reason it says tweets mine in my bio. Occupy Democrats is fine. Hill Reporter is fine. I'm not using my official, I'm not using their accounts. I'm using mine.
Right, right.
And I'm not doing it on the clock. I'm doing it on my own time with my own account, which I have had since 2009. So, and my blue check mark also came from, I didn't pay $8 for that. That I've had since 2016 because of getting cyber harassed horrifically by Trump supporters. There has not been a day of my life that I haven't been harassed online in some way or another. And the fact that we have accepted harassment as part of our built-in online experience is ridiculous. And Twitter wasn't really protecting anybody really that well before Elon. Occasionally they would be like, oh, that's happening. Okay, we'll take care of you. They took care of me in 2016 when I was getting cyber harassed, and they gave me my blue check mark to protect my identity. And now Elon has changed that so that now if you click on our blue checks, it says we are legacy verified and we might not be notable. And now he's threatening to take away all legacy verified check marks because he thinks that the process from before he took over was wrong, or the way they did it was suspicious or whatever. And it wasn't. The way I got my check mark matters. The way you get your check mark matters. Journalists, famous people, celebrities, members of the government, people who write, you know, everybody who has a legacy verified check mark has it for a reason. Our identities matter, and what we say matters, and authenticity matters.
My friend Rex Chapman has like 30 accounts with his name in it that are all saying horrible things. So,
and so does like Mueller, She Wrote, and Brooklyn Dad, on the one hand, he's like, "Hey, free speech," and on the other hand, my feed is full of Republican MAGA people that I don't follow because he is fucked with the algorithm. So I see Laverne Spicer and Monica Crowley and Bridget, whatever the fuck her name is, and all of those terrible people that I don't want to see.
Yeah.
And we're getting, our voices are getting suppressed. All right.
So keep us up to date on this, okay, Tara? And let us know. I'm really curious if your appeal works too, if it comes back in.
Well, there's nobody there. There's nobody left to appeal to. Fired everybody.
Somebody threw you off.
Well, if it was a mass reporting situation where the algorithm was just like notified, like, oh, I'm getting a lot of reports, that's one thing. But if they have gotten rid of like the trust and safety council or whatever they have in there. So if the people who are supposed to take care of the people who are being harassed are gone, and I'm complaining to you about getting harassed, no one's going to take care of that. No one's going to look at my appeal that says I need this for my job, and I deleted the tweet, and you're messing with my livelihood. That's not okay. One person, regardless of how megalomaniacal they are, no matter how much money they have, one person should not be in charge of anybody else's voice.
I wouldn't mess with you.
But see, and here's the thing. At heart, I'm an incredibly sweet human being and loving.
I know that.
But I'm reactive.
We've known each other a while. When I see things
that are wrong, okay, I'm going to say something. And right, I'm not going to stop soon saying then, okay? That.
Tara, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chip. Really appreciate you.
Be safe out there. Bye. I tell you, those Jersey girls, man, they're tough girls. All right. So why do we need this bill that Biden is signing today, the Marriage Equality Act? Because I remember, this again, the idea, the Supreme Court has come out and said that it's okay for two people to marry. And there was some irony there that one of the attorneys for LGBT in that was also an attorney that tried to, well, successfully got George W. Bush in 2000. But the question is, though, what is it? Well, I'll tell you one of the reasons why we need this act.
Mr. Speaker, I'll tell you my priority. Protect religious liberty, protect people of faith, and protect Americans who believe in the true meaning of marriage. I hope and pray that my colleagues will find the courage to join me in opposing this misguided and this dangerous bill. And I yield back.
Gentlewoman's time has expired.
That's kind of scary. I mean, that's the kind of freaky people out there that we have to, we have to create legislation to keep them from taking their, I guess, their view of religion and holding it against people that they don't believe share that view. My kids every year, we used to go to Provincetown. We did it for 25 years. We'd all go to Provincetown, Massachusetts, which is a summer gay mecca. My kids grew up around, anything, drag queens, just regular people. We used to go there on family week. And so most of the people there were gay couples with kids. And it was a great way for my kids to see, just there's a different world out there than people paint on 9 to 5 TV. I feel that what's happening today is important. And I'm proud that this president is doing it. I don't think it's strictly political for the guy. I know that it took Democrats a while in the 90s to come around. If I'm not mistaken, and I'll talk to our next guest about this in a minute, I know that Obama and Biden and Clinton all had reservations. I know Clinton specifically and Obama had reservations about gay marriage. But like everything, we come around. Our next guest is a guy that you should know. He's an attorney. And during the Obama administration, Mo Vella was named the director of administration for Vice President Joe Biden. And he joins us here today. And I'm pretty sure you're proud of what the president's doing today. Right, Mo?
I am deeply proud, Chip. It's good to be back with you.
Good to see you, my friend.
How are you, my brother?
Oh, you're looking at it. Older. Not any wiser, but I'm having fun.
But here's the good news, Chip. We both have the insane, incredible hairstylist.
Yeah, no, I mean, you look good. You have some, I'm just that white guy, man. Look at me, dude. I mean, these lights probably don't help. Let me see if I turn this off. Am I any less white? No, I'm still the same guy. Anyway,
it's about the light inside of us. How's that?
Huh? There you go. So let me ask you something. We know the Supreme Court was talking about Thomas and others, Alito and others, had talked about revisiting gay marriage. First of all, how could they do that? And would this bill slow that down?
It would absolutely slow that down. I think we need to be realistic, Chip. This bill is an incredible step forward. It is not the end all be all. It is not the final solution. And I think we just need to be realistic about that. I mean, what this bill, at least my understanding, let me be clear, my understanding of what it does is this, and we still have the challenge that states who do not allow for LGBTQ marriage, right? This bill is just simply saying that if a state does allow it, that it has to be recognized by other states, right?
Makes sense, because how, if I lived in Missouri, or lived in California, and I moved to Missouri with my partner, and all of a sudden, I'm, you know, we can't, you know, do all the things that, you know, that,
that's,
I mean,
right.
That was a part about this that I, as an attorney, I think you probably agree, you know, you can't give a contract option to some part of the country and not to others. And
that
marriage
is
doesn't affect the contract, right?
That's, I mean, correct.
You know, you can even make a case to say that maybe the government shouldn't be involved in marriage at all, you know, that anybody should be able to marry anybody else. And then if there are going to be tax incentives for couples, or if they're going to be, you know, things that a man and a woman can do, then a man and a man or a woman and a woman together should be able to do, right?
Yeah, well, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Again, this is a very celebratory day. This is important to codify this premise, right? But I don't, I also, I'm a realist, and having been in, you know, in the White House when we compromised on Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the 90s during my time as the CFO and advisor, senior advisor to Al Gore, you know, I, it's all gone kind of full circle in my little lifetime, from that to now the repeal and then now this codification. But again, the attorney in me is being very pragmatic here, right? In that we're simply saying if you are allowed to get married in California, it has to be respected and honored in every state in the United States, right? But that doesn't mean that we're changing the laws of Missouri. You just mentioned Missouri. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
This is not the end all be all. We still have work to do.
Well, and I think part of that is trying to create a set of principles that that SCOTUS cannot strip away.
Right, Chip. It's also setting this. It's also preventing SCOTUS from being hypocrites, right? And we're going to do it this way only if we like it, only if it's right, something that falls into our religious or you know, constitutional views. And what do I mean by that? You can't be states' rights only when it's a topic you agree with. You see what I'm saying?
No, yeah. I mean, and when you put the states' rights things in there, that goes back to maybe before a lot of people's time here, that it allowed states' rights were what George Wallace and other segregationists pointed to, saying
that's right.
And it stood for a long time. And somebody just put up here a minute ago that this marriage equality also deals with interracial marriage.
That's correct.
Interracial marriage was only taken off the books in Alabama, the laws against it, in 1999.
Yeah.
So just, you know, a little more than 20 years ago.
Just amazing.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, this whole idea of giving states this right, if you go into these states' legislatures and hear some of the things they debate, it's frightening as hell. I mean, look at states like Utah that allowed a death penalty where a person could be shot. I think they might still allow that. I mean, but even then you go and you talk about housing and just the whole deal with
a whole gamut. Yeah, whole gamut of just a violative and egregious. It's just egregious. It really is. But you can't have it both ways. And I think, you know, by the way, you mentioned something that I want your listeners and your viewers that should not go unmentioned, which is how brilliant it is. And this is a lesson for especially the Democrats, right? Because we Democrats tend to think that just get it done. And if you don't do it exactly this way, you know, blah, blah, blah. Right. But this is an example of how you intertwine issues that are going to get you more support legislatively. What do I mean by that? You tie interracial marriage into, you know, marriage equality for LGBTQ Americans.
So they can't cherry pick it.
Exactly. Because that's what you call strategic legislating. Right. And this is where Democrats, our folks don't always quite have the patience and tolerance for this. Sometimes you have to compromise. Sometimes you have to strategize. You couple it with something that's going to get you a few more votes. That's what they did here. Right. It'd be very, but even in light of that, Chip, a ton of them still voted against it, which to me is just unfathomable, right? It just tells you exactly where they're at right now politically, in the sense of they're not going to support anything that in any way will help any Democrat, right?
I mean, look, Democrats aren't perfect. And as I mentioned before, with Clinton and Obama, both favoring gay marriage in the 90s. And I think even the President Obama into the early 2000s. But I think what happens is you know, when you're in that office and you have people come before you and talk about the things they're denied, and then you meet, you know, there's a lot of, I know a lot of people that have never met gay people. I have a neighbor and a friend who have brothers and siblings, and they've never come to terms with it, which is so sad on so many different levels. But to have a governmental construct that prohibits people from accessing the same rights that everyone else has, that's what it's at the heart of this, I think, this legislation. And let's take away the sex and the kissing and the hand holding and all that. It's a contract, and people should have a right, regardless of whatever other proclivity they have, to be able to obtain these contracts. And so if you're going to, the only way I see constitutionally the conservatives to do it is just to strip away government control at all of marriage. But they would never do that, because the conservatives are hypocrites in the way that with pro-life, again, with gay marriage, they say we want small government until it affects something. And again, exactly. I go back to this, it's that's a theocratic right. approach to government. And that's what a lot of them still do.
That congresswoman that you just played a clip of, right, and those crocodile tears, I
feel bad for her in a way, don't you? That she's that ignorant.
Oh my God! It breaks my heart that she has allowed, right? And she has allowed her religious beliefs to completely behave in a manner absolutely contradictory to what Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, every religious figure that all these people believe in teaches. Love.
Yeah.
It's at the root of every major religion. Love. Unconditional love. And she just got up there and literally contradicted that entire premise of just love people. We're not all going to agree on everything. We don't all have the same favorite color. We don't have the same favorite activities, right? We don't.
Yeah. So let me jump in here. So you're an attorney. And again, as I mentioned earlier, you were the director of administration for then Vice President Joe Biden. If a state, after this signed today, in fact, is it signed at 1 o'clock? It's today. So,
I believe so. I think we're getting close here.
Yeah. I got some friends that are there, actually, and they're real excited.
Yeah. I was invited. Unfortunately, I'm on the West Coast today doing some meetings, and I couldn't.
Well, Brooklyn Dad and Justin Horwitz, who are both from Really American, a super PAC that I work with, a liberal Democratic super PAC, they're there and they were invited, which makes me feel good. Yeah. That the president looks out. I mean, Brooklyn's a good friend of mine. And do you know Brooklyn Dad, his tweets?
I do not.
You should follow him. He's great. Brooklyn Dad Defiant. But anyway, I guess what I worry about is that a state like Louisiana or Alabama will pass a law that says we do not do gay marriages here. Then it'll go to a circuit court, and then, and through the federal court system. And when it gets to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court will look at the 10th Amendment and they will say, does this right to engage in a contract? Can you draw parameters? I mean, one of the things they could say is that children can't engage in these contracts, right? And they can even come out and say that people who are have mental illness can't enter into these contracts, right? So I don't, this is the argument we've heard the Rush Limbaughs of the world say, oh, if you let a couple marry, then why not three or four or five people, you know? And I'm like, I've never seen three people that want to marry, So, well, I mean, I'm sure that there is, but I guess my point is that as an attorney,
all I'll say is polyamory.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, it's like the old Woody Allen joke where he says he didn't want to get into a menage a trois because he likes to disappoint women one at a time, But
Well, you know, as a heartthrob, I just want to say I disappoint women daily.
But do you, as an attorney, I can see a state doing that. And then I can see the Supreme Court making a decision saying states get to decide on who gets to enter into these contracts.
And you notice that's how I started my time with you, by being, I was pragmatic and realistic. And I just want to remind people, this is a day to celebrate. Yes, this is an incredible accomplishment and achievement, but you just raised the point I was trying to allude to at the beginning, which is this is not over, right? And all of that, what you just said, those court appeals, those challenges, those legal challenges, we're actually going to end up in a TBD. It's TBD, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, hey, you know, I really appreciate you coming on with me last minute, Mo. It's always good to see you and talk to you. Let's do it again soon, okay?
Well, I missed you, and I hope that you don't wait 72,000 hours again to invite me back, Chip.
Where'd you get that? 72,000 hours? But I didn't even
know. I made that up, but it sounded dramatic because I'm gay, and that's the way we roll.
All right, my friend. You be well. All right.
Take care, brother. Be safe. Happy holidays to you.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Again, that is Mo Vella. Nice enough to join me again. He was on my show a lot when I was on at KGO Radio in San Francisco. Smart guy. All right, so here's where we are. Obviously, the Marriage Equality Act will be signed. It will become law. I think the interracial part in there played, as one of the Laurie said here a moment ago. By the way, thanks for being here. And please subscribe and tell your friends to come and see the show. I do this every day at 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock live. And then we cut it up and put it on YouTube. I also have my videos up on YouTube, and I have a brand new one about Citizens United. And if I can, let me just play this one for you here. Let me just back up. Before I do that, though, I want to remind you that the Marjorie Taylor Greene discussion we had at the top of the hour is still playing out. In fact, before I play my video, let me just play you a little bit of what Marjorie Taylor Greene said when she was in front of a young Republicans group. I got a little bit of this from Chris Hayes' show, but listen to this.
It gets you what we saw at the annual gala thrown by New York Young Republicans, which has become this incredibly radicalized pro-Trump, pro-insurrection group. The Southern Poverty Law Center had an investigative reporter there documenting the event, snapping these pictures that include Peter Brimelow. That's the man on the left with the white hair there. He's the publisher of VDare, an anti-immigrant white nationalist website, quite infamous in the hard right circles. He's posing for a photo with Steve Bannon. Of course, Donald Trump Jr. was there. The keynote speaker was none other than Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who basically bragged about the insurrection and how she and Bannon would have done it right.
I come to Washington. I swear in on January 3rd. I get accused of giving insurrection tours, which I thought was hilarious because I couldn't even find the bathroom in the Capitol. True story. Then January 6th happens, and next thing you know, I organized the whole thing along with Steve Bannon here. And I want to tell you something, if Steve Bannon and I had organized that, we would have won. Not to mention, it would have been armed.
Would have been armed. That goes hand in hand with a recent interview the former president did.
Today on a radio show, Mr. Trump warned that there would be, quote, big problems if he's indicted in the classified documents case.
If it happened, I think you'd have problems in this country, the likes of which perhaps we've never seen before. I don't think the people of the United States would stand for it.
What kind of problems, Mr. President?
I think you'd have big problems. Big problems.
You know that the legacy media will say you're attempting to incite violence with that statement. How do you respond to what will inevitably...
That's not inciting. I'm just saying what my opinion is. I don't think the people of this country would stand for it.
This is what I talked about before, and this is what Michael Cohen told me, is that Trump talks like this. He'll never say that, you know, I want violence and I want an insurrection. I mean, he's made that mistake the other day when he was talking about the Constitution. And he said he wanted to tear it up, and he tried to backtrack on that. He didn't. But it is interesting to see when Swalwell called out Jim Jordan, Eric Swalwell, who was on the show last week, was talking about this. And he said when he asked his other Republicans, when he calls for violence, when he calls for the destruction of our Constitution, what do you have to say?
Earlier this week, you faced off with GOP Representative Jim Jordan. Let's take a listen.
Well, Mr. Jordan's announced Donald Trump's termination of the Constitution.
President Trump has clarified his comments regarding the Constitution. He put out another post, I think, a day or so later, maybe the next day, I can't recall. And everyone knows President Trump, there's no way this guy's anti-Semitic. So,
and do you denounce your tweet praising Kanye West?
That tweet was not our account. That tweet's been removed. Time has...
I wonder, Congressman, how you're preparing for...
I love it. Swalwell's good. I really like Eric. And I think that I asked him again on the show, and you can find this if you go to my YouTube account or just go to whatthefranklin.com. I asked him if he would run for president again. And he was like, my wife would never let me. But I think that at this particular period of time, he learned a lot by running in 2020. I think, though, where we stand right now with violence and with Twitter, which we started the show talking about, is we have this question we have to ask ourselves. Is it possible that if the Republican Party were to win in both the House and the Senate and the presidency with someone along the lines of Trump or DeSantis or Hawley or one of these people, the deniers and, you know, the people that want Fauci investigated, all these Republicans that will essentially lie and espouse any untruth in order to forward their agenda. What would happen to this country? Citizens United, which gave the power to large corporations to donate as much money they want to particular quote unquote causes, but not individuals, has really turned it around. You can't afford to run for an office today. If you're, we hear small stories of, Congress people in states, even in California, in areas that aren't well populated, generally in these places, Republicans, they're red. But the real, when this whole thing comes down to it, when you look at it closely, it's about money.
Citizens United was a Supreme Court decision that allowed unlimited dark money to go to politicians who then would pass laws to benefit the very people who donated.
Now that's fucked up.
Look, it's like me paying a hooker for sex.
I'm one of them.
And saying, that's not prostitution because I used your credit card.
I'm using my own money.
So what's the answer?
Cognitively there.
Overturn Citizens United and have publicly funded elections where average people can run on issues that affect everyone and not just corporations and the rich.
That's a wonderful idea.
But of course, Republicans who represent rich white people and billion-dollar corporations will back publicly funded elections the day after Lauren Boebert passes her GED.
I love the poorly educated.
You see, Citizens United is a Republican tool to keep them fat and rich. It's called dark money because they don't want you to see that the new American way has us all hogtied and helpless.
Very excited about that.
Locked in Jim Jordan's rec room with someone coming down the stairs.
Sexy time.
Goddamn right.
Who's with me? Woo!
Winning.
Yes!
Anyway, these are the videos that I do, and you can find them a lot of places. You can find them on my Twitter feed, or you can find them at Really American on their Twitter feed, or you can find them on my YouTube page at Chip Franklin or What the Franklin. .com. I always appreciate you guys being here, and I know it. It is, and your comments as well, too. Thank you. You can send me an email, and I'll put you on my email list. I'm trying to figure that out. It is fascinating, though, to talk to people on the right about their service to this crazy part of the Republican Party. And the more I talk to them, I had a friend who I stopped communicating with after the halfway through the 2016 Trump presidency, when I realized that they were believing everything that the right was saying, that Russia had nothing to do with this, and then when COVID came, the lies that Trump pushed that caused the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Americans that didn't need to die, and that's kind of where we are right now. It's a frightening scenario. We have people like Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene who you saw, but that's just the beginning. I mean, you go down the list, Paul Gosar, Louis Gohmert, these are insane people that are in positions of power. And now coming up that the Republicans have the House, they're going to crowd the House Judiciary Committee, and they'll probably put together articles of impeachment. I don't know if they'll get out of the committee. They will try to impeach. I guarantee you, it's not impossible to say that they'll try to impeach Sotomayor, which they can try, you know, or you know, of course, Biden. They're going to bring Fauci up there, and Rand Paul and others will just sit there and say things that are blatantly not true, but they'll say them loudly and they'll say them while they're banging a gavel. It's, you know, it comes down to money in the end, you know, as I was talking about with Citizens United. I don't know how we're going to ever get rid of that. It's going to have to be a Supreme Court thing, but it is, it's difficult. We have seen this many, many times that people, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, if they continue the 6-3 control of the Supreme Court, which could go on indefinitely, I mean, not indefinitely, but, you know, for a decade, it's possible. If they do that and they get the Senate and the House, again, they're going to have to get 67 votes in the Senate in some cases for us, you know, to not filibuster. But then they could also do, you know, they could get rid of the filibuster. All these things play out. And moving forward, that's the thing that really scares me the most, that we don't have, we're going to find ourselves in a corner. And what will they do? What are they capable of? I'm not, you know, obviously the Liz Cheneys and the Adam Kinzingers are allies in protecting our Constitution, even though we might disagree with them vociferously on matters of laws, but not so much on principle. And that's the thing that has really changed over the years. Yeah, this is the logic, I suppose, was that people didn't vaccinate and died. There are less voters. Problem is Dems vaccinated. Well, a vast majority of the people that have died of COVID from, you know, limited studies, but not, you know, we're talking tens of thousands of people were Republicans. They lived in red states. They listened to, you know, state secretaries of states and governors like Abbott and DeSantis. And what they had was they found themselves facing epidemic numbers. And we're seeing them again now. You know, people aren't getting flu vaccines because they spoke so strongly against Moderna and J&J and Pfizer. You can get a flu vaccine right now and save yourself. It still works. It takes about 2 weeks. If you haven't been vaccinated, if you didn't get a booster, it's a matter of time. I mean, my wife got COVID and she had it bad for a week. And we both have 4 or 5 boosters. I can't remember how many. Some reason I didn't get it when I was with her. I don't know. I don't want to get it. I get shots. I believe in science. I believe in information. So that's where we are. Joining us right now is the one and only Mark Thompson. He'll try not to knock over his entire set.
We're running that today on my show because people didn't see it necessarily. So yesterday, for what Chip's talking about, is that my whole rig crashed live on Chip's show. And it was a disaster, of course, but it was oddly fun. So, I mean, from a 30,000 foot view, it was fun.
Can you play it right now for us? Do you have it right there?
I don't have it. I think Tony's my guy who's like organizing
it. Wait, you
have
a guy?
I have a guy. You know, one of the things Chip asked me when I started my thing, first because I wanted to get all the KGO people over, you know, and I felt like you couldn't wait. He said, dude, how come you got so many people working on your show? You're never going to be solvent if you have all these people working on your show.
So my booker is a guy named Chip. My editor and my graphic people, guys named Chip. The people that answer all the it's just all Chip all the time.
That's it's one man band,
show
baby.
So special because you have talented.
Is that
people
right?
Working
is that right? Thank you, Chip, for spinning it that way. I love you for that. All right, so we've got a Christmas asteroid coming our way. We'll tell you how.
Jesus, really?
I know. Yeah, I know. It's a don't look up kind of situation, but we'll also tell you how you can keep an eye on it as it careens toward Earth. The Bankman-Fried story is big, Chip, and I think it's an interesting contrast that Bankman-Fried is arrested. First of all, he's a hot mess, of course. He would talk to every Twitter space that came along. He was just chirping like a parakeet. It was weird.
But he wasn't like that guy with the EpiPen, that dude we all hated.
No, you're right. You're right. He wasn't. This guy seems more earnest, but it was still earnestly a scam. I mean, it was really, it was a Ponzi scheme, it seems.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
No, you don't think so?
I think that crypto is such... it's like you're trying to create a brand new level of confidence in something people don't understand, and they get excited about it, and then they freak out.
Let me ask you this. I mean, when you take money in that is supposed to be, FTX, you know this, was a platform for trading. I've got to go now. Anyway, I got it, Ryan. All right, I love you. Let's talk more on this on my show. It's called The Mark Thompson Show. Check it out,
sure,
pal.
Watch that. All right, it's coming right up. You, Mark Thompson on Twitter. Check it all out. By the way, a couple things here before we get out of here. I had a couple notes here, and I want to this comes from Nick, and I want to chip boosters don't offer 100% tech protection. No, they don't. In fact, the vaccines don't offer 100% protection. Essentially, what a vaccine is telling you, it's telling your body you're about to be invaded by something that you haven't seen before, and we want to help you fight it. A vaccine doesn't prevent you from getting a disease, and a booster doesn't either. It helps you fight the disease. That's something that was that was a talking point that people kind of screwed up. If you don't vaccinate, it's bad on for you, and it's bad for all of us. I mean, it's extremely safe. And here's a fact, and you can go look this up, and this might blow some of your minds. Nobody in this country has died because of getting a vaccine. We got 350 million people in this freaking country. Not one person died from the vaccine, unless, of course, they were sick and they happened to coincidentally die at the same time. There are some EpiPen reactions that some people had, but they knew they might. But again, the vaccine did not kill anybody. So the lies you hear from the right on that, these are just irresponsible. That's a whole part of what the whole Twitter deal was. All right, coming up this week, Congressman Richie Torres, I think, is going to be with us Thursday. We got, again, more videos tomorrow. Please follow me and subscribe on YouTube. You can do that by going to whatthefranklin.com or just going to YouTube and putting Chip Franklin in there. Again, thanks for all my guests today. Tara Dublin, Brian Karam, and Mo Vella, again, talking about the Marriage Equality Act. And for anybody out there that might be gay, big day, but really for all of us in that regard, because if they can take your rights, they can take anyone's, right? All right. Till tomorrow, you be well. I'm Chip Franklin. This is What the Franklin. See you then.
I can handle things. I'm fine.
We shall overcome. Yes, we can.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
What the f*** is wrong with you?